It's tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Variety coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear the Seal Test Variety Theater with special guest movie actor Charles Laughton. But right now, picture a hall with a dance floor, snack bar, and various seating areas, and a small chained-off stage and bandstand. The first place you might think for a community event, but maybe the last you'd think of as a place where Orson Welles performed magic. Ronald and Benita Coleman passing out Christmas gifts while Betty Davis hung decorations. Rudy Valley serving coffee to military police. Or Bob Hope and the Vice President of the United States washing dishes. With lines of servicemen waiting to get in the door, this was the Hollywood Canteen. In 1942, the facility was opened as a place for Allied servicemen the world over to unwind and be entertained by the volunteer waitstaff and entertainers made up of Hollywood's finest. From Cary Grant performing on stage to Buster Keaton serving punch, the building gave a forum for Hollywood stars to say thanks to the men of our armed forces and Allied troops of other nations on furlough. Servicemen would mob stars like Jane Wyman, Linda Darnell, and Marlena Dietrich and get to dance with them or get an autograph. They could even receive a Christmas gift around the holidays from someone like Herbert Marshall or a Santa Claus-suited Eddie Cantor. This next program marks the first anniversary of the canteen's opening, celebrating with a note of sophistication with a show of symphonic selections. Listen now to this mutual radio broadcast from October 31st, 1943.
Presents to the nation from Hollywood, California, a program in celebration of the first anniversary of the Hollywood Canteen. Now, may I introduce Miss Betty Davis, president of the Hollywood Canteen. Miss Davis.
Welcome to our canteen. Today is our birthday, and I extend a cordial invitation to all of you listening in to celebrate our first anniversary with us by joining our audience of men of the armed forces who are here in the canteen this afternoon. We are proud to have as our guest of honor Leopold Sikorsky, who will conduct Mr. Forrester's Symphony Orchestra. This orchestra has given a symphony concert at the canteen every Sunday afternoon for the past year. We are greatly indebted to each and every one of the men. But before Mr. Sikorsky begins, one of the most devoted workers of the canteen is with us today as our master of ceremonies. That great baritone, John Charles Thomas.
Thank you, Miss Davis, and good afternoon, fellas. Really, this is quite a record for me. I just left my own broadcast, and here I am again. I want to tell you that I feel greatly honored to be chosen as the master of ceremonies on this day, the first anniversary of the Hollywood Canteen. And without further ado, we shall get on with the program. Every Sunday afternoon here in the canteen, the men of the armed forces gather to hear their favorite works of their favorite masters. And they have done so ever since the canteen opened. This was made possible by a brilliant young musician conductor who saw the great need for symphonic music for our fighting men. And today, two of his dreams are to be realized. Number one, the first broadcast of the Hollywood Canteen Symphony Orchestra. Number two, he has as his guest conductor, Leopold Sikorsky. Dear friends, David Forster conducts his Hollywood Canteen Symphony Orchestra in the first of today's concerts. The introduction to the third act of Lohengrin by Richard Wagner.
Thank you.
Foster, I think you should have the honor of introducing our honored guest.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest for the afternoon, Mr. Leopold Stokowski. Mr. Stokowski, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you here as a guest conductor of the Hollywood Canteen Symphony Orchestra.
Mr. Foster, I'm just as thrilled to be playing for all you soldiers and sailors and to be conducting this wonderful orchestra that you have created.
Thank you, sir. Coming from you, that is the finest compliment that I have ever had. And now will you take the podium? At this time, Mr. Leopold Stokowski performs his own orchestration of Claude Debussy's Moonlight.
Betty Davis again.
A year ago in October, the Hollywood Canteen opened its doors for the first time. Since then, there have been over 1 million men of the armed forces in our canteen. On this day of our anniversary, first of all, I want to pay tribute to the tireless workers who have kept the canteen going. Night after night, these men and women have worked side by side in their given duties. Not just personalities of the music world, motion picture world, and radio world, but also the people who work behind the scenes in these worlds. Carpenters, electricians, stagehands, cartoonists, painters, secretaries, far too many to be able to mention them all in the time allotted me. However, knowing them as I do, they have not done this work for glory or for credit. They sincerely feel that all glory connected with the war effort goes to our fighting men. They also are well aware that canteens such as ours, of which there are many in our country, our foster mother being the American theater wing, cannot alone win the war. But we do hope that these canteens are proving to be temporary headquarters for our men while they're in strange cities. Here in the canteen, we're very proud of the letters that many of the men who have been our guests here have sent us from the fighting front. They tell us that often in their bleaker moments, the memories of friendship they have found here mean much to them. And what greater reward could our workers desire? Speaking on behalf of the board of directors of the canteen, our congratulations to all of you for a good job done. To all of you men in the service who it has been our privilege to entertain, the canteen's thanks for your appreciation and your courtesy as guests. You've made our job an easier one with this appreciation and courtesy. We're starting on our second year full of enthusiasm and with high hopes you will continue to enjoy your visits here. We want you to know, however, that we feel the most we can do is so very minute in comparison with what you are doing. It is our prayer here at the canteen, as it is the prayer of people all over the world today, as we approach the Christmas season, that by another year, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, will be an actuality, and that with joy in our voices, we can once again rightfully say, Merry Christmas. John Charles Thomas, who will sing for us the Lord's Prayer.
Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the power and the glory.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. That was wonderful.
While we are honoring the loyal workers of the canteen, I wish to extend another honor, and it is to the musicians. I personally wish to thank every musician, every great orchestra leader, and the Musicians Union of Los Angeles for their great part in helping to build the canteen and seeing to it that our fighting men have had every form of music from the greatest of the master's classics to Boogie Woogie. Their motto has been and will still continue to be music and plenty of it for our fighting men. Now, Maestro Tchaikovsky conducts the Hollywood Canteen Symphony Orchestra in the closing composition of today's concert, The Entrance of the Gods into Valhalla, from the Wagnerian opera, Rheingold.
Thank you.
canteen. May I tell you, Mr. Tchaikovsky, how privileged we have been to have you present as our honored guest today in celebration of our first birthday. Mr. Thomas, I would like to express the canteen's deep gratitude to you for your beautiful singing of the Lord's Prayer and for acting as our master of ceremonies. The canteen thanks to Robert Weiss, our producer, and last but very far from least, David Forrester, we thank you and the men of your Hollywood Canteen Symphony Orchestra for your music today. And before I say good afternoon, remember, men of our armed forces, when you are off this way, you have a standing invitation to visit the Hollywood Canteen. Good afternoon to you all.
This first anniversary broadcast from the Hollywood Canteen originated through the facilities of Don Lee. This is Mutual.
The Hollywood Canteen, on Tuned to Yesterday, celebrating their first anniversary, a Mutual radio broadcast from October 31st, 1943. You're listening to an hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now it's time for the Seal Test Variety Theater, hosted by Dorothy L'Amour with special guest actor Charles Laughton. This would actually mark his second appearance on the program in the year of the broadcast, from June 2nd, 1949 on NBC.
Seal Test presents Seal Test Variety Theater. Yes, it's Seal Test Variety Theater, starring Dorothy L'Amour, Eddie Bracken, and our guest star, back for a return engagement, Charles Laughton, with Henry Russell and the orchestra and the Crew Chiefs Quartet. And right now, here's our gal Thursday, the singing star of our show, Dorothy L'Amour.
Thanks, John. Hi, everybody, and a special hello to you, Eddie Bracken.
Hello, Dottie.
Say, that's quite a sunburn you got yourself, Eddie. Been to the beach?
The beach. That reminds me, I just finished a picture called A Girl from Jones Beach. I want a picture, you know. Virginia
Eddie,
Mayo's in it.
Eddie, I mean the real beach.
Oh, the one that's in the script.
Yeah.
Oh, what a mob down there at that beach. Believe me, people plunging into the pool, people plunging into the ocean. And you should have seen the girls' bathing suits. I'm telling you, everything was plunging.
I love the beach. I find it very relaxing.
Yeah, me too. I lie there in the warm sun and I forget everything. Then a beautiful girl walks by.
Yes.
And I remember everything. Say, Dottie, did you get one of those new handkerchief bathing suits the girls are wearing?
No, I don't like them. As a matter of fact, I don't understand what women see in them.
Well, I don't either, but I can tell you about the men. Ah, but that beach is great. My girl and I swam, and then we had dinner, and then I drove her home in the dock, and then we parked in front of her house.
Eddie?
And then I just worked myself up to a kiss or two, and some guy stuck his head in the window of the car.
A stranger?
Yeah, and I said to him, hey, bud, what's the idea of sticking your head in here? And he says, well, I hope you'll excuse me, mister, but my television set is broken. I just had to see someone wrestling. So he and I wrestled.
Eddie.
Yes, Dottie?
Next time you go to the beach, will you take me?
Why, sure, Dottie. Is there something special you'd like to do?
Mm-hmm. Bury you in the sand along with your jokes.
I don't know. They're better than the ones that are in here.
Oh,
yeah, go ahead.
Dottie.
Yes, John.
There's a lady outside. Says she wants to see you.
Have you any idea what she wants to see me about?
Well, she wouldn't say, but she looks pretty important.
Okay, send her in.
All right, Dottie.
Right this way, madam.
Thank you, you dear boy, you. Oh, Miss L'Amour, why, you look even more beautiful in person than you do on the screen. Yes, you do.
Why, thank you.
And Eddie Bracken, you adorable, cute Eddie Bracken. You are cute, you know you are. But permit me to introduce myself. My name is Mrs. Parkhurst Chisholm, Northfleet Oglethorpe.
Glad to know you.
Just a moment. Van Cortlandt Heppelthwaite Madison Rensselaer, Northfleet Parkington.
Glad to know you.
Just a moment. Dalehaven Marlborough Vandermeer Jr.
Finished?
The third.
There, that's my entire name.
Sounds more like you were taking the census. But what did you want to see me about?
Well, I am a patron of the arts, and I was thinking of putting a few dollars into a summer theater. Say, 2 or 3 million.
Whoops. $2 or $3 million?
Yes, I believe in starting on a small scale.
But $2 or $3 million is an awful lot of money.
Whoops.
Fish-tush, my girl. Have you ever heard of Fort Knox?
Yes.
My piggy bank.
Well, exactly where do we fit into this piggy bank?
Well, you and Miss L'Amour could help me get the project started as well as act in the plays. And now I would like to find a good actor.
Did you have anyone in particular in mind?
Well, my favorite actor is Charles Lawton.
Oh, I know Charles quite well. I could phone him and see whether he'd be interested.
Oh, would you?
Certainly. I'll be right back.
Oh, the theater. I just love the theater. It's so romantic. And do you know something, Mr. Bracken? If I were just a little younger, I could go for you.
Younger? Why, my dear girl, you seem very young to me.
I do? Oh, are you darling boy? How old do you think I am? Go ahead, guess.
22?
A little more than that.
25?
A bit more than that.
27?
A wee bit more than that.
62.
See here, why, I've never been so...
Mrs. Vandermeer, please. I only said that to get you excited. You look so lovely when you're excited.
I do?
Indeed you do. Why, you have so much color in your cheeks, so much fire in your eyes, and so much money in the bank. You sure are lovely. Where did you get it all?
My beauty?
No, your money.
Well, you see, my last husband was enormously wealthy. Shipbuilding, oil, mining. Oh, yes, he had his finger in every pie in town.
Must have been awfully messy shaking hands with the old boy. Tell me, Miss Vandermeer, have you ever thought of taking on a new husband?
Oh, you're really too young for me.
Have you ever thought of adopting a son?
That's such an involved procedure.
Well, have you ever thought of just giving a young fella $1 million?
Why, no.
Well, think of it, woman, think of it. Ah, Mrs. Vandermeer, if you back a summer theater for us, you won't be sorry. With Dottie doing some of the singing and me telling all the jokes...
Singing? Jokes? Oh, but you don't understand. I'm interested in the drama.
The drama? Well, I can dram with the best of the man.
Well, perhaps, but I refuse to back the venture unless we can get a dramatic actor of established reputation. What we need is a big name.
Well, when I do drama, I've been called some of the biggest names you've ever heard.
Well, the whole thing depends on whether or not Miss L'Amour can get Mr. Lawton. He's the type of actor we need.
Well, don't you worry. We'll get him, believe me. We'll get him,
oh,
honestly.
Oh, Mrs. Vandermeer, I just spoke to Mr. Lawton.
Oh, yes, and what did the dear man say?
He seemed quite interested, and he wants to discuss it with Eddie and me tonight.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'll keep my fingers crossed. You'll call me, won't you?
I'll let you know the first thing in the morning.
Goodbye, Miss L'Amour.
Goodbye, Mrs. Vandermeer.
Goodbye, Mr. Bracken. I still think you're cute.
Well, what do you think of that?
Wonderful. The dame is loaded, she's single, and she thinks I'm cute.
Oh, Eddie, surely you can't be serious.
Well, I could do worse after all.
Eddie, money isn't everything. Remember, $1 million couldn't buy you one real friend.
Maybe not, but I bet I could get a couple of mighty nice, interesting acquaintances.
About 5 years ago, I was the lucky girl who played opposite Fred McMurray in a picture called And the Angels Sing. Johnny Burke and Jimmy Van Heusen wrote a romantic ballad for the picture and named it It Could Happen to You. Remember?
Hide your heart from sight. Lock your dreams at night. It could happen. Don't come an eye on spring run. When church bells ring, it could happen.
Eddie, Charles Lawton is expecting us over by 8 o'clock.
Okay, I sure hope we get him to come on the summer theater deal. It's a cinch that Mrs. Vandermeer will put up the dough then, you see.
Oh, after all, where could she get a better actor than Charles Lawton?
Nelson. Oh, Nelson.
What can I do for you?
Nelson, you've been my private secretary for many years. I want to share the good news with you.
The good news, sir?
Yes, I feel that I'm about to embark on a career as a comedian.
A comedian?
Yes, you see, I've been invited to join a summer theater, and I'll only do so if I'm permitted to do comedy. I'm tired of having people think of me as a heavy dramatic actor. I want to sing, dance, and tell funny jokes.
How depressing.
I beg your pardon? Now, before Miss Lamour and Mr. Bracken arrive, I'd like to try out one of my amusing quips. I bought it from a writer for $5. I think it's very amusing. I want you to help me with it, Nelson.
Very well.
Now, I say to you, Nelson, what is it that has 8 wheels and flies? Then you say to me, I give up, what is it that has 8 wheels and flies? And I say, 2 garbage trucks.
Begging your pardon, sir, that's incorrect.
Incorrect?
Yes, the garbage trucks in this district are completely covered at all times, thus eliminating any possibility of the tiny winged insects alighting upon the vehicle.
But this is a joke.
A joke? Flies are no joke, sir. If they were, why would the Department of Sanitation go to the trouble of completely covering the truck so as to eliminate the possibility of the flies alighting upon the vehicle?
Answer me, Nelson. Are you or are you not going to give me the straight line?
All right, sir, I will.
Very well, we'll start again. Nelson, what is it that has 8 wheels and flies?
2 garbage trucks.
No. You don't know it's 2 garbage trucks.
But I distinctly remember you telling me.
No. Nelson, I'm a patient man, but if you don't get it right this time, I shall have to give you your notice.
Sir, I've been with you for 20 years, have I not?
You have.
Then you mean that after 20 years of faithful service, you'll allow 2 garbage trucks to come between us?
Well, perhaps I did lose my temper, but you must understand that I'm so intent upon becoming a comedian, I must be firm. Now, come on, let's try again. Now, I say...
Shall I answer the door?
Yes, it must be them. You let him in, I'll try my joke on them.
Very good, sir. Miss Lebeau, Mr. Bracken, this way, please.
Dorothy, darling, hello. How are you, Mr. Bracken?
Hello, oh, Charles.
Miss Lawton, how are you?
Charles, we want to see you about is having you...
Just a minute, Dottie. I want to ask you something.
Yes?
Tell me, what is it that has 8 wheels and flies?
2 garbage trucks. Now, what we wanted to talk to you about is...
Just a minute, Dottie. You know the answer to the joke. You must have bought it, too. How much you pay for it?
Pay for it? I didn't pay anything for it.
Well, that's a very old joke. Everybody knows it. I heard it when I was in grammar school.
You mean to tell me that that joke is known to the general public?
Certainly, Charles.
Heavens, I've been built.
Say, Mr. Lawton, I always think of you as a dramatic actor. Why is this sudden interest you have in jokes?
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. I am most interested in joining your summer theater venture.
Oh, great. You hear that, Dottie? Mr. Lawton's going to join up with us. Boy, we're all set.
Wonderful. I must tell Mrs. Vandermeer the good news. She'll put the money up immediately.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as an adventure. A whole season on the stage doing the things I want to do. A little singing, some dancing, pies in the face, funny jokes. That's what I mean.
But, Charles, Mrs. Vandermeer wants you to lend prestige to our theater. She was so intent upon getting you because of your reputation as a character actor.
Sure, we expect great things from you, like to be or not to be. That is the question.
Well, pooey on that. What is it that has eight wheels and flies? That is the question.
But, Charles, I'm afraid Mrs. Vandermeer will withdraw her support if you insist upon doing comedy.
I'm sorry, dear, but I've made up my mind. I have an irrepressible urge to do comedy, so it's going to be comedy or nothing.
But you've been so successful at the drama. Why this sudden urge?
Eddie, because the world needs laughter. I'd rather make one person laugh than make 1,000 people cry. Now, you're a comedian. You should understand that feeling.
Yeah. Just recently, I played at theater in Cincinnati.
Wasn't that a gratifying experience?
Well, I didn't make 1,000 people laugh, but I did make one person cry. The manager of the theater.
Look, Charles, I'm sure there must be some way we can compromise.
You mean that I can do drama and comedy at the same time, but there's no such play?
Well, if there isn't any, I'll write it.
You?
Why, yes. I'll write the play, or my name isn't Eddie Bracken. And passionately uttering the words, I love you, Lady Dorothy fell into the sinewy arms of Lord Oswald. The end. Dottie? Hey, Dottie, the play is done. I finished the play.
Great. I'll get in touch with Mrs. Vandermeer at once. You call Charles Lawton and...
Imagine me, the sole backer of the theater. Oh, what talent. L'Amour, Bracken, and Lawton. The drama.
Ah, the opportunity I've been waiting for. At last, the chance to do comedy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Vandermeer Summer Theater is proud to present the premiere performance of an original dramatic play entitled... His Lordship Hasn't Heard a Thing, or Who Shoved a Crumpet into Lord Benson's Ear Trumpet? The part of Lady Dorothy is played by Dottie L'Amour. Her husband, Oswald, is played by Charles Lawton, and Edward is played by Edward Bracken. As the curtain rises, Lady Dorothy is pacing up and down her drawing room, awaiting the arrival of her lover, Edward. Edward, enter.
Darling!
My sweet.
Love you.
Ditto.
Mad for you.
Ditto.
Insane about you.
Ditto.
Kiss me.
Double ditto.
Wherever did you learn to kiss like that?
The time I got my lip caught in the wrong end of a vacuum cleaner.
Darling, I've been desolate without you. Why are you so late?
Beastly out, my dear. The fog is so thick you can cut it with a knife.
What took you so long?
Had a very dull night. I think I should like a little champagne.
What kind would you like?
What kind do you have?
Mum's 28.
I don't care how old your mother is, I want champagne.
I think it would be better if you drank something warm.
Righto.
Your cup.
Thank you.
Lemon?
A little.
Sugar?
A spot.
Cream?
A dash.
Tea?
No, thank you. Never touch the stuff.
Darling, let's stop pretending. Kiss me.
Righto. Who can that be?
My husband.
Oh.
Come in. Kiss me again.
Right here.
Good evening, darling. Who's the man you're kissing?
Anybody I know?
No. No, dear. You've never met him.
I thought he looked unfamiliar.
But you come in and I am kissing a strange man. Aren't you going to ask any questions?
Yes, I am, and I want an answer, too.
Well?
What is it that has 8 wheels and flies?
2 garbage trucks. Now, where were we, dear?
You were kissing me.
Oh. Where'd we leave off?
Let me see. I had my arm around your neck.
Yes.
There.
And I had my arms around your waist. There.
As I recall it, your arm was a little tighter.
Thank you. I'm quite ready now, my dear.
Are you finished? Oswald. Oswald. I don't understand you. Aren't you going to do something to this man?
Do something to him?
Yes. After all, he was kissing me.
But, darling, he seems like a rather clean-cut young chap.
Well, I should think you would want revenge.
Revenge? Why should I?
For heaven's sakes, Ozzie. You are my husband.
Quite right, so I am. What do you suggest I do?
Well, the least you could do is shoot him.
She's quite right, you know.
If you say so. By the way, do you happen to have a revolver on you?
Perhaps.
Would you check, Omar?
Yes, I'll browse through my pockets. Oh, yes, I just happen to have one. You are?
Thank you so much. Nasty little gadget, isn't it? How does one operate this thing?
Edward, show Oswald how it works.
Gladly.
Oh, here you are.
Now I grasp it here. I aim it, and I pull the trigger.
I do believe I'm shot.
My error. He seems rather dead.
Perhaps.
Mistakes will happen, but now we have each other. Kiss me.
Just a moment. The place looks rather messy with Lord Oswald lying there.
Yes, it does look rather sloppy. What do you suggest we do?
Let's leave a doily under him.
Good idea.
Oh!
Heavens to Betsy, he's still alive. He's still alive.
Something must have bitten. Now, it seems that he wants to say something.
I'm going fast.
Speak to me. Speak to me.
Oh, before I go, there's just one question I want to ask you.
Now, don't tell me you want to know what has 8 wheels and flies.
No, this is a far more important question.
What is the deer?
Why does a fireman wear red suspenders?
Well, Mrs. Vandermeer, how did you like it, huh? How was the play?
How was my comedy?
Was I all right?
Mr. Lawton, your comedy is sensational, simply sensational. And Miss L'Amour, you were magnificent. You were, my dear.
Well, how about me?
I've never seen acting with so much drive.
Oh, you really think I have drive?
You certainly have. And what you should drive is a garbage truck with 8 wheels and flies.
Much for the drama. I know you're going to be thrilled when you hear who our guest star for next Thursday is going to be. And he's just the guy who can give Eddie Bracken a little trouble, too. The star of the two-fisted motion picture setup, Robert Ryan. To our guest star tonight, Charles Lawton, our sincere thanks. Charles, your appearance contributes to a fine cause, the establishment of the American Federation of Radio Artists Welfare Insurance Fund. And now, folks, for Eddie Bracken, Frank Nelson, B. Benaderet, Henry Russell, the crew chiefs, and all of us, this is Dorothy L'Amour inviting you to be with us next Thursday at the same hour. In the meantime, we'll be thinking of you.
The Seal Test Variety Theater on Tuned to Yesterday from the 2nd of June 1949 on NBC. And that brings to a close this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.